Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey. Welcome to Diving Into Writing. What are we talking about today, Anna?
We're talking about what to do when you finish your novel or you think you've finished your novel.
Oh, yes. And it's useful to have some plans of what you're going to do before you actually get there.
Yes. And you might have thought already about whether you want to self-publish or go for a publisher. But I had thought of a few things to ask yourself before you even conclude on that. Do you want to know what they are?
Yeah, you asked me a question.
Oh, you're trying to tell me something. I don't know if this is what you meant when you were thinking of the topic, but I started thinking things like this. Maybe when you finished your novel, go back to the very beginning and look at your first line. And I looked up again, we've talked about it before, about how to start, but I looked at on the internet about good first lines, and here's Peter Pan by J.M. Barrie. All children except one grow up. That's the first line of Peter Pan. And it made me think it's quite a good idea to go back to your first sentence, because I don't think it's easy to write the beginning until the end, especially not if you want it to be a very clever beginning of some sort. So also, J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series, if anybody wants to look up, has got a very good beginning. So, you know, things like that are sometimes easier to write at the end when you think you've finished and you can just look back and think, is this punchy enough? And then my next thought was, and you might remember me asking you this, in one sentence, what's the book about? Often you don't think of things like that, and yet it's one of the first things people will ask you. And you need to say it when you write to an agent or a publisher or anything. So that's even before you start the idea of sending to agents or competitions or whatever. And thinking about your title, does your title indicate what the content's going to be? And if it doesn't, does that matter? Because it may not matter. So then I was pondering various titles of books that I like or have read. So one word title seemed to be quite popular. So Outlander, which became a TV series by Diane Gabaldon, is one word. Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson. Then two words, some of the best books that I know. Normal People, it's just been on telly. One Day. Of course, Pride and Prejudice, three if you count the and, of course. And then you get longer titles. And I mentioned last time, Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine, which is quite a long title. So I think you kind of need to look at that and think, for one thing, do any of these words indicate what the book's about? And if not, is it because you've decided something or is it just an accident? And if it's very long, I think you need to think carefully if you want, because people can't remember very long titles. So if they're recommending your book to someone, they might not be able to remember what it's called. So I think it's sometimes there's a good reason. I think in the case of Eleanor Oliphant, the reason is it kind of arouses your curiosity because it's such an odd title. So those things were my first thoughts about what to think about when you're getting ready to send it off.
Ah. What about if you decide to self-publish or indie publish?
Well, I was remembering the conference we went to and they talked about keywords a lot there, which is thinking about the keywords that describe your book that help you to get it to the top of a list. Which you know more about than I do.
I think the challenge is people finding you. That's the challenge if you're, well, probably if you've got a publisher
but the difference with a publisher is that they've got their networks already set up, haven't they?
Yeah.
So they'll promote your book to a degree.
Yes, and agents help with things like that. But if you're self-publishing, literally on your own, without using the various support agencies there are, then you have to think of those kinds of things yourself, like what are the keywords that would attract interest, that would attract your reader.
You need to plan.
So, and then, of course, you need to do a synopsis. Once you've done your one sentence, you then have to do, because absolutely any publisher or agent or even competition will probably ask you for a synopsis of your story, and they usually don't want it to be too long. So I've checked a few, and they usually say 2 or 3 paragraphs or 500 words or no more than 1 sheet of A4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember the moment when you did a synopsis?
Yes. I did it. Well, I always knew that I wanted to indie publish or to self-publish. But then there was that time that there was a small publisher that was looking for, well, what I'd written. So I did send a synopsis off. Yeah. But I think that they were very interested in whether I had a website, whether I had a following. So they very much wanted whoever they chose to bring all that with them. So it wasn't just about the book that you'd written. It was about whether you'd already got a presence on social media.
Yeah. So this goes back to when we went to the self-publishing conference, which they talked about that really whoever you are, you have to regard your book as a product, and you have to think about those things yourself as well, as even if you have got a publisher, even if you have got an agency or an agent helping you, you still need to think of your book as a product and have preferably contacts, preferably Facebook, and preferably loads of emails. I remember somebody at the conference saying they had a fantastically long email list, which is quite hard to get as well. And they also talked about whether you can put something alongside your book that's more of an individual selling point thing, like an additional, almost like a gift that people get when they get your book. So I think you have to think of all those things, even if you're going more traditional routes, like competitions, more traditional. If you do want to do competitions, you can go online and and just put in novel writing competitions, and you get loads. But they probably ask you to do some of the things we've just talked about.
Do they have good prizes then?
Some of them do. Some of them have things like help with your novel, you know, helping to edit it and things, and money. Some of them have got really good either agents or publishers who work with them as well. So if you win, you get a deal with a publisher or get an agent.
I just want the money.
You can get money. You can get £3,000, some £5,000. It depends on the competition.
Oh, I might have to stop.
But as you've already decided that you think self-publishing is a better route to getting money anyway, don't you?
Yes. How's that going for me?
Fairly well, I think. I think you've sold some, haven't you?
Yes.
Why, have you changed your mind? Made you change your mind at all?
No, I just quite like the idea of entering a competition and getting a prize. I don't particularly want to work for a publisher.
No.
I want to keep the rights to my book.
Well, that's another huge thing. And I was thinking of that as well. If you finish your book, you need to sit down and think which rights to hold on to, because some people accidentally sign away rights, don't they?
Yeah. Right. They sign away rights to things like Australia or the rest of the world when the publisher never published outside of the UK.
Yes, that kind of thing. Or the rights to hardback, to their hardback sales. They only might get digital sales or something like that, or the other way around.
Yeah.
So you have to read the small print.
I wouldn't sign anything without getting someone to look at it.
So were these the kind of things you were thinking when you, because you suggested this topic, or have I gone off on a completely different kind of tangent?
No. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about, because I've just come to the end of a series, I was thinking, what's the next stage? But yeah. Actually, it's something that you do have to plan well before you finish. Well, unless you're happy to take another, you know, few months to do something with your book. But yeah. Even, I mean, I'm not so familiar with what to do if you're sending your book off to be published, or if you're looking for an agent, because I've not really done that. But yeah. I know for self-publishing or indie publishing that you need to be looking at a launch strategy. So you need to be planning out how you're going to get your book visible, and whether you're going to do that through advertising, or whether you're going to do that through other ways, whether it be social media, whether it be drumming up business locally. It really depends on what your book is. Whether it's a novel, whether it's something set, you know, somewhere that you could generate interest locally, you know, if it's set in your city or your town.
So when you, to go back to the very beginning of what you said you've got to the end of a series and you have to think what next. Is that more of a psychological thing?
No, well, yes and no. Yes, it is a psychological thing, but it's also about planning out which is the best direction to go in. So if you, say, wanted to change genres, then you're potentially starting all over again.
Yeah.
Because the people that read your book aren't necessarily going to want to read, I don't know, if you went into crime or into romance from science fiction. You know,
yeah.
Some audiences are pretty set on what they like and what they do want to read. And they're not necessarily going to follow you into a different genre.
Yeah.
So you've kind of got to take that into account. If you're wanting to make money out of it and take it seriously. And that's the same, I imagine, if you've got an agent. So a lot of agents look for specific things, or they have specific interests. And they're not necessarily going to want to deal with a book that's a radical change.
No, that's true, because their main interest is earning money for themselves and for you. And if they think your decision is a bit whimsical and might not lead to as much success as the field you're writing in already, then they might not be very encouraging.
So let me ask you a question now. When you started writing your novel, did you think about selling it at the beginning?
Only very loosely, sort of abstracty sort of way, in that I suppose when you start an enterprise, you're kind of always a little bit interested in the end of the enterprise, what that would lead to, I guess. But it's all a bit vague, because at the time it's quite enough of a challenge to do the beginning bit. Like we were in a writing class at the time, and so there were smaller challenges, such as doing it for next week, or doing it at all, or being scared to read it out, you know, those kinds of things. So I tried not to think too hard about, you know, what to do if I became a successful book author. But actually, I do think that publishers and agents like to know they've got a big future with that writer. And that is one of the things that I'm concerned about if I wanted to go a normal commercial route, because I don't think they would necessarily think that I would be, if you see what I mean, an author. Whereas you might be an author that writes another 10 or 20 books. I'm not sure they would think that about me. I don't know that I think that about me myself. I did and I didn't is probably the answer. But I did think things like, I've got a provisional title. I thought, is that a sellable title? And does it actually indicate what I'm writing about? I'm not sure. And one time I'll ask you what you think. Because it doesn't exactly say what the book's about. But it may just indicate it enough, which is why I thought about that question. Is that enough of an answer?
Well, yeah, no, that's quite interesting, yeah. Because I kind of think that most people set off to write a book and they don't necessarily think about what they want to do with the end product. And I think in many ways that's a good thing because...
Oh, yeah.
It's almost overwhelming to think about all of it.
Yeah.
And you do have to break it down into stages.
But yeah, I agree. And also I think writers are very often the last people to promote their own work.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're quite often quite solitary people with a big internal life. And the idea of going out promoting it and stuff is probably quite a contradiction to a lot of writers. And they might find it anxious-making to even think about that kind of stuff. Mm. But, you know, there is help out there, and that's one of the things we did learn at the conference. One of the presentations, Draft to Digital, do you remember?
Yeah.
They do so much for you. I mean, they select things like outlets like Apple and Kobo and Kindle and all those things. They help you prepare your manuscript. Once you send them, as the title suggests, you send your draft and they help you prepare it and market it. So there is help out there for people.
Yeah. And you pay them a percentage of what you earn, yeah. Through it.
Yeah, I was going to say it costs money to get that sort of help.
I think so,
but it is.
Yeah, they do offer some things free. They do offer, so the formatting, you can use their services for free. It's like a program. Yeah. Yeah, so they do offer.
I thought they were very good, actually. I thought the presentation was quite convincing, and I would consider using them.
I've used them. With my novella, I use them. Yeah, because they can get your book into places that you can't get without that help. So,
including libraries, I noticed, they said.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it is a useful service. So here I am promoting it.
Yeah.
I hope they appreciate that I'm doing that.
Yeah. That they do the ebooks, but then there's Ingram Spark that do the actual paper books, so the hard books. And they can get your hard copy books into libraries, into shops, into bookshops and the like. So, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely worth considering, isn't it? I think if you're early in your book, don't stress about this kind of stuff, because when you get to the end and you've given it a provisional edit or maybe shown it to some readers like you've done. Did you have 10 readers? I can't remember.
What, beta readers?
Yeah.
So they looked at it when I'd... Yes, it was part of the editing process, that. Because I'm co-writer, so Amy will edit and then it goes to the beta readers.
Yeah, even if you do it informally without yet having a contract or anything, you can send it round to 10 people and get their opinion. They might all say something different, though. I remember you saying it can be quite confusing as well. But with a bit of luck, you know, if you get some feedback from whoever you want to get feedback from, basically, or find someone who'll do it professionally. And then it's only then really that you've got to get heavily stuck into the marketing side of it.
Yes, and that's if you decide to do it yourself. if you go with a publisher, you still have to do some marketing yourself, but it's different.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, some of the things we've talked about still happen even if you do it yourself. You then have to think of whether what kind of cover you're going to have if you do it yourself, don't you? The presentation from the actual visual point of view.
Yeah, and that's a minefield. Because the covers that you like might not be the covers that sell your genre.
Ah, you have wisdom on the subject.
I do. Just because, well, so for my novella, I chose a cover I liked, but it doesn't necessarily sell the genre, which, and covers are so important.
Yes. So in a way, that was a costly experiment, wasn't it?
It was, yes. It was.
So that is, it's worth telling people that, isn't it? So the issue there was you needed to think harder about whether it was an appropriate cover, not just a cover you like.
Yes. The trouble is I don't like the covers in my genre, generally. There are very few that I do like. Yeah. So it is hard spending a lot of money on a cover that you don't like but sells your book well.
I get that, yeah. Mm. Yeah, very, very true. I understand that. So how would you describe, because we're talking, I suppose, science fiction, or are we talking space opera?
What, on the novella, it was science, it was urban fantasy.
So how would you describe these covers that you don't like? I mean, what don't you like?
So they tend to have, so urban fantasy classically has usually a young woman or sometimes a young man on the front. It's very bright colours. It's sometimes got a city in the background or some sort of buildings in the background to indicate that it's urban fantasy. There's usually some sort of sword or some sort of wolf or something else.
Yeah.
Really busy covers.
Yeah. Do you think they're almost a bit cartoon-like?
Yes. Yeah, almost. Yes.
Yeah.
I do like Ben Aronovich's covers for The Rivers of London, and that is urban fantasy, but his covers are not urban fantasy. But then Ben Aronovich is a big name, so he probably doesn't need the covers to sell his novels.
But he must have needed to the first time.
I know, but he's a screenwriter for Doctor Who and what have you. So,
Yeah, that helps. You've got a profile already, so more people are going to help you with everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing applies
Doctor
for
Who.
I think the same thing applies for the thing you said earlier about if you want to change the direction of your writing, because obviously J.K. Rowling was able to change the direction from writing for young people originally and then writing crime for adults like she has done. She can make that change because everyone knows that she can write well and they would be willing to take the risk of her writing in a different way.
I thought that when she wrote the Robert Galbraith stuff, though, that she didn't publicise that she was the author, and then when it didn't sell, they publicised that she was the author.
Yeah, but some people knew she was the author, didn't they? The publishers will have known that she was. So I mean, they support you to put your book out there. They take the risk. If it's someone who they already know for whatever reason, TV writing or other reason, they're more likely to publish and support you. And all those other agencies we talked about will happily support you with your new name and your new genre. I mean, there are a lot of writers who do write under different names, though.
Yeah.
It's worth looking at. If it's something you want to do, it's worth looking at.
Well, I write under a different name.
Yes. But, I mean, you don't yet write under your own name as well.
No, I don't think I will. I don't think I wouldn't want more than one name because you've got to market each name and that sounds like a lot of work.
So do you think we've got any other bits of advice for people who are about to get to the end of a novel?
I think we've probably got lots of bits, but if people want to let us know what they want, we're not necessarily the experts, but we can talk about our experience.
Yeah, I mean, I would think a go-to is always that Writers and Artists Yearbook that we got. Even if you get the wrong year, it's full of like an old one from a second-hand shop. There's so many tips in those books, and also going online, because there's masses of stuff online as well. Like I mentioned competitions, but also there's so many different types of competitions. I think you need to think hard about which ones you want. There's flash writing or different genres of competitions, and the short stories, novellas, and novel competitions. So yeah, I look online as well. Any more thoughts, or should we leave it for now and hope that people get back to us?
Yes, and we can always do another. People are
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.